You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, you're back at the RV after your hectic day, and me and the dog, we've been stuck in here, and I've been writing reports.
Well, it looks like instead of the coffee, you're enjoying that beer you're having.
Well, yeah, I love Estella. Okay, so and it's
that been, sounds like a commercial. Okay. I love Estella.
Well, they don't endorse our conversations at night, so I can talk freely.
Well, I'm having a glass of Nobilo Sauvignon Blanc, one of my favorites.
Oh, great. Then we'll break for a commercial. Hey, listen, I want to start off our conversation this evening with a sincere thank you for conspiring to hold a birthday party that just surprised the heck out of me.
I love surprises. I'm celebrating your whole birthday week. So that was really enjoyable. And you know what was the best about it is that every single person who came to that dinner were people that you truly, truly love.
You know, it's so interesting that you mentioned that because I'm looking around the room at all these wonderful people, family and close friends that we've known forever. And I said to myself, my God, I have shared a piece of every single person's life here, and they have shared that with me as well. And what an amazing blessing to have family and friends gather around for the old man's birthday.
Well, that, and you were just, I think that you told me twice last week that you were dreaming about having that 2-pound lobster.
Well, it was so funny. Okay, so we went to the Coco Palms, which is one of my absolute favorite restaurants, and it's a Cuban restaurant. So that's kind of new for me, right? Going to a Cuban restaurant. Absolutely love the food, by the way. And the last time we were there with two of our friends that were at the, you know, Bob and Perry that were with us for dinner on my birthday, while we were having dinner, those two girls behind us, they ordered those giant lobsters, and I couldn't I bet you they thought I was staring at them. But in reality,
I could have told them that it has nothing to do with them. It was all about the food.
But in reality, I was food focused. And then I went home, and you remember this. We came back to the RV, and I actually dreamed about that lobster.
Well, there was no second choice for taking you out for your birthday. It had to be to go get that lobster. In fact, I told the restaurant that I was reserving it for you to make sure that they still had it.
Well, you know, so. I just love you so much, and you were absolutely a conspirator. I never saw it coming. And I guess that's the best, right? Having a surprise birthday party that you never expect. You walk into the room and it's just full with everybody you love.
Yes.
So thank you so much for that.
Well, thanks for having a birthday.
Hey, you know, I want to start out and talk about Attorney General Sessions' recent speech about changing the rules for asylum. And also reducing the reasons for asylum.
Okay.
You know, we welcome, as America, we welcome people from all over the world. I don't think any country in the world is as welcoming as we are here in the United States. You know, we got the Statue of Liberty that the French made for us and trucked it over here, so to speak. And, you know, it says, you know, give us your tired, your poor, your, you know, all of that. But that was a long time ago, and we really need to change the rules about who we accept into the United States.
Well, you know, that was at a time when we were building an America from really from nothing.
And from immigrants. And we needed every single one of them.
It had to be from immigrants because there were not a lot of natives here. Other than the Indians that were here, there were not a lot of natives. So everybody was an immigrant in one way or another.
And you and I have discussed on numerous occasions, both our folks, sets of folks, have been immigrants, Italian and Dutch.
Yes.
And But, you know, here's the difference that I see. Our parents all came to this country with a yearning to become Americans, not Italians, not Dutch. That was already part of their culture and their language, but they wanted to assimilate into American culture and experience and resonate with American values. And they learned the language. They had predicate job skills. They were able to put a roof under their heads or over their heads. Thank you. And raise family and work hard. And I'm sorry. Yes, we do have immigrants that come there and do everything that our folks do. But there is an increasing number of people that are coming to this country, both legally and illegally, that don't share our values, that won't assimilate, that bring nothing to the table. They have no education. They have no language skills. They have no job skills. They go immediately on welfare. It costs us, as American taxpayers, $70,000 a year for every single one of these people. And there are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of these people now on our welfare rolls, and we can't bear that burden.
And why do they do it, Ron? They do it because we give them the free stuff. Now, you and I have a home in Mexico. If we went to Mexico and tried the same thing, it would never work.
Absolutely not. We wouldn't even get a driver's license the way they get driver's licenses.
Because they keep sending their people to us, or they keep coming over the border, and they expect these things from us, and they fight us about getting them, yet they would never do the same thing in their country. So yes, we have to stop this flood of people that are coming in and getting free everything, because all we do is encourage those. Actually, we teach them.
We don't just encourage them, Linda. We teach them how to game the system, and that's got to stop.
Right. And we are not encouraging people to come who have skills, who want to start businesses, who want to assimilate, who want to be Americans for all sorts of good reasons. We are encouraging and really paying off people who want to come and freeload off the system. And that's what absolutely has to stop.
And what I'm personally seeing, and after all my years in law enforcement, you know, working in those impoverished communities, having to speak a couple of different languages in order to provide them with, you know, community service, is that we are slowly but surely turning America into a third world country where people are uneducated, they have no job skills, and our value system and our American culture doesn't resonate with them, and they don't assimilate. And I think that's a huge problem, and it's going to eventually bite us in the butt if we don't put a stop to it. And I think what Attorney General Jeff Sessions said the other day in his speech is accurate, and we need to stop it and change those rules with regards to asylum, and we need to clean up the immigration system.
Well, we do, which brings us to another subject. It brings us to the subject of children being separated from parents at the border and the outcry that the media and the Hollywood crowd has about this is that they just don't know what they're talking about because they broke the law of America. They came over the border illegally. And of course we would separate their children from them.
Well, you know, they have been amply warned over the years, and especially since President Trump took office, he has made it a point through Department of Homeland Security and Department of Justice to warn these people not only to not come across our borders illegally, but whatever you do, don't bring your kids here. Now, I want to talk about this aspect, about the blow-up and the hubbub about the so-called separation of children from their parents and the so-called breakup of families. Linda, can you name me a single jurisdiction in the United States, a single city, a single county, a single state within the United States where we allow criminals to have their kids in their jail or prison cells with them?
Well, let me think about it. No.
No, you're exactly right. But the way that this propaganda is being forwarded by the mainstream media and these advocates and socialists and Marxists is because they want to break up this country. I mean, that's the object of the game here. They want to break up this country, and what they use is this propaganda, and they spew it out so that it resonates with the low-informed and the totally ignorant people about how our criminal justice system works, right? And it is just a ridiculous argument. I think that if you were drunk or stupid, it might, the idea, oh my God, they're breaking up families. Wait a minute, you came over the border, you committed a crime, and then sometimes these people commit other crimes, like, you know, they're carrying drugs with them, all sorts of things like this, MS-13 gang members, all of that. And I'm going to tell you what, we're going to arrest you, and we're going to put you in a detention facility, or we're going to put you in a jail, and if you commit more heinous crimes, we're going to prosecute you, and we're going to put you in a prison, and you have no entitlement for anything like having your kids in the detention center, the jail, or the correctional facility.
And by the way, that doesn't matter who you are, legal or illegal.
Exactly.
If you are arrested for a crime, you don't get to take your kids to jail with you. So, you know, let's be real about what we're talking about. And the media, with all their hysteria, are completely wrong about this issue. And they're showing pictures of children in cages, which, oh, by the way, was in the Obama administration.
All those pictures that they showed, yes, were detention facilities from DHS and ICE that were from the Obama administration.
Yes. But you're right, Ron. They have, first of all, they have no business coming over the border. They have less business bringing their kids over the border. And you know why this is happening, in my opinion, although it's always happened, but it happens in bigger numbers. When President Obama was president, he let them come over the border in droves, and thousands of children coming over the border. And you know, this is, once you start allowing that, you just cause a floodgate to open, and that's what happened. But we need to stop it for the welfare of everybody. And by the way, just recently, very recently, there was 54 illegal aliens in a big semi truck in
San Antonio, not far from where we live.
Moments from where we live.
And you know, here's the other thing. Having spent a lot of time in law enforcement, in correctional facilities, in jails, in juvenile halls, in detention centers, you know, what we call 301 housing in California for kids that are not criminals but need to be detained and housed. That's the first time they've had three square meals a day. That's the first time they've had a real bed to sleep on. And they get pretty close to immediate medical care. So you're going to compare, let's say that you came from San Salvador, or you came from Nicaragua, or you came from one of those countries, or Colombia, one of those war-torn countries, and you came all the way through the jungles, you came through the deserts, you came through the, you know, through the coyotes, you came into the United States, and then you got snagged. So where was your medical care during that part? Where were your three hots and a cot during that part? You had nothing. So the best living arrangements, literally, that you've had since you left your home country was in a detention facility in the United States.
You know, the other thing I want to say about asylum is that I hope that part of getting asylum in the United States is that you sign something that you are willing to assimilate into the United States, because we have enclaves of people from the Mideast and so forth that basically the police are kept out of those areas.
We have our own no-go zones. Just go to Michigan, go to some places, go to Detroit, go to some of these areas, and you'll absolutely find out very quickly, like they are in Europe, there are no-go zones where police don't even go into those zones.
Well, we can't have that. And one thing that you and I went through personally was we went to Chicago, and we went to see at the time it was the Sears Tower, right? The top of the Sears Tower.
I remember that trip very well.
And we wanted to go to the very top. So you take an elevator up, and before you go up, you are photographed.
Right, there's a vetting process.
Right.
They photograph you, and then you go up in the elevator.
Right. So we get to our turn to, actually the people in front of us who are Mideastern and have on the
burkas
and so forth. And they said, no, we don't want to be photographed. Well,
and they didn't. And by the way, they didn't photograph
them. It's a rule. And so they did not photograph them. And then we were next, and they said, okay, you need to be photographed. We said, well, what if we don't want to be photographed? No, you have to be photographed. Well, why didn't they have to be photographed? I mean, this is just political correctness taken to, first of all, ridiculous levels. Secondly, unsafe levels. Because had those people wanted to do something at the top of that Sears Tower, they would have had no photograph to be able to go back and find out who it was. So we need to have the rules apply to everybody here. And we cannot be intimidated, which is their goal, by the way. We cannot be intimidated to allow people to do different things than what we as Americans decide that the law is. And we hold the rule of law and we keep it. And that is it.
And you know, sweetheart, I just want to add something else. The entitlements, the enabling, the driver's licenses, and the no voter ID virus that is going across the United States.
Good way to put it.
That all needs to stop. You need to show identification if you have a credit card, if you go to the doctor, if you are...
Buy a bottle of alcohol.
Exactly. Okay, there are so many different times where you have to show identification to verify who you are. When you go to the bank, you've got to show ID.
When you pick up your welfare check,
you have to show ID. And for one of the most important things that American citizens get to do in this country, and that is vote, there are actually states, and it's a growing movement, to remove voter ID requirements from states so just anybody can go in. And we've already seen, and Donald Trump, you know, put it out, and he was chastised for it, but they pretty well proven significant voter fraud with illegal aliens.
You know, this started, the first time I ever really paid attention to it was the race in Southern California with Loretta Sanchez.
I remember that.
I will never forget. And I think it was Bob Dorn.
That's right.
And Bob Dorn was an extremely good representative of his area for many years.
Very intelligent.
Yes.
Very down with the people. Very community service oriented.
Right. But here came a no-name person that nobody knew at the time. And he complained vehemently about voter fraud and people voting that were not citizens, and he got struck down by the court. He couldn't even check out if that happened.
Exactly.
Well, we all know it did. We all know it did. And we all know, at least in California and many other states, that it absolutely does. We have dead people voting. We have people that are not on the rolls voting because of this voter ID issue. This is a big, big problem in this country. Every single citizen of America should get behind this movement. There's nobody being disenfranchised by not showing identification. This is a sacred right and a sacred privilege for us to be able to vote, and we need to hold it that way. And what's happened is, by getting all these people to vote that shouldn't be voting, you know, we are choosing political sides rather than political ethics here.
Well, in the end, it really has nothing to do with anything except power. The
Absolutely.
People that are forwarding this, which are the Democrats and the leftists, are forwarding this whole no need for voter ID, and it's just because they know those people will vote illegally and keep them in power.
Well, not only that, they drive them to the polls. It is, in my humble opinion, BS.
Well, you know, speaking of holding things, I think I'm going to go over to the refrigerator and put a hold on another Stella.
You got it.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Got your beer?
Got it, and it's nice and cold. Hey, I guess we're working on a new peace accord with North Korea.
Well, it's very exciting that President Trump and Kim Jong-un met to form a denuclearization program. And, you know, this is just so historic, Ron. In our lifetime, there has never been a meeting like this between the President of the United States and the leader of North Korea.
Well, sure, not in our lifetime, because the Korean War happened between 1950 and 1953, and you and I were just a couple of toddlers at the time. But I think what's important...
We could have been twinkles.
maybe twinkles. But you know, Kim Jong-un is the third in his generation, right? Third generation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so his dad didn't go in that direction, and neither did his grandfather.
Oh, no.
So we're talking 70 years of essentially a non-trustworthy stalemate between, you know, the People's Democratic, North Korea.
They're a republic, I think.
I'm not sure what they call themselves,
yeah.
But North Korea, we'll just say North Korea. And the United States. And, you know, President Trump said that his discussions with Kim were honest, direct, and productive. And he continues to reiterate that this is the first bold step in a brighter future for both countries.
Well, I think it is. And I think that there's a lot of reasons for this to be happening. And what do I know? I mean, all that I know is what I hear in the news. But, you know, I mean, I do have some common sense. And I think that a few things are in play here. I think that President Trump really, as my dad would say, you know, showed Kim Jong-un how the cow eats the cabbage. He didn't put up with anything from him. He didn't back down like our previous administrations have. He didn't ignore him. He said, make my day, buddy.
I agree. And I have been pushing the whole thing about you need to be a strong leader. You need to have the... We learned this in law enforcement, for God's sake.
Sure.
You have got to show command presence. You can't be mealy-mouthed. You have to be firm but fair. You have to be direct. You have to be sincere. But above all, you must be strong in your commitment. Because the minute that they see you wavering, the minute they look you in the face and they think that you're intimidated, you might as well walk out of that negotiation room because you're not going to get a damn thing accomplished.
Would that be like making a red line and letting everybody walk over it?
Oh, sure. Or doing a reset button.
Yeah. So that's one thing that has happened here, in my opinion. Another thing that has happened here is I think that Kim Jong-un, in this new day and age, okay, where there's so much global information, where... You know, with his grandfather, they were kind of more in a vacuum of information.
Their people are still in a huge vacuum.
Well, no, the people are, but the leader isn't necessarily.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, so he's seeing a whole big world out there, and he wanted to flex his muscles and show how big and bad he was. And guess what? It did not work for him. So now he's saying, you know, look at this whole other world out there that looks pretty darn good, and look at me. I'm afraid for my life every day because my people hate me. They're starving. They have no food. They have no work. They have no medical care. And, you know, I, as a leader, have killed all my relatives so that they couldn't take over. And what have I got for all of this? I'm an isolated little rocket man.
Well, you know, you're absolutely correct in that. But, you know, Ung was... was taught, he did receive education in the West, so it's not like he's completely naive as to what's out there, but I think he's been stuck in that repressive regime going really in the wrong direction for his people for so long. you know, you can't see the forest through the trees.
Well, and it's doing what's expected of you instead of what you truly want. Now, I don't know if this guy actually has a good side of him. I don't know if he has goodness in his heart. But if he does, then maybe some a little bit of that is coming out, like the guy in the Wizard of Oz that had no heart. You know, I don't know. I am concerned about him. I still would say to President Trump, as he already knows far better than I do, trust but verify.
Ronald Reagan.
But listen, what an accomplishment on President Trump's part. Mike Pompeo, John Bolton,
Nikki Haley.
What a fantastic team we have here. And what an accomplishment on their part.
Well, you know, it really is a team effort. And the president, although he deserves the majority of the credit for getting the ball rolling, he does give kudos to that team. And I think that's the best strategic international relationship team I have seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, I agree. I respect every one of them, each in their own right.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something, and you know, this is pure Trump, okay, because he's a real estate guy. Did you see the video that he had made to give to Kim Jong-un?
I did not see I heard about it, but I did not see it.
Sweetheart, you gotta see it. It is pure real estate.
Has it got a bunch of Trump hotels?
You know, it's kind of like, yeah, as a matter of fact, no names on them, but you could see there was going to be a Trump Tower there. But, you know, it was a beautifully marketed piece of propaganda, actually. You know, be all you could be kind of thing, right? Look, this, it showed, look, you can go in this direction, and it showed the dire consequences of that, or you can
go
in...
Did it show, like, death and destruction?
Well, yeah, it kind of, without doing the whole death and destruction thing, you could tell what was happening, you know, because we did show a picture of our fleet, we did show pictures of our jets taking off, and then all of a sudden, midway through the movie, it was like a Mission Impossible, where all the film of the movie starts melting.
Oh, okay,
right?
Okay.
But on the positive side, it showed how their culture could grow, how they could just get into biotech, and they could get into making cars and producing things. And I mean, it was just and wonderful things with the culture and science. And of course, then the whole real estate, there was a huge, beautiful, you know, superimposed skyline on the North Korean peninsula, so that
they have some beautiful beaches there as well.
I have no idea. Well, I just know that it gets pretty cold over there in the wintertime.
Well, I think that they have beautiful beaches. I actually don't know that, but I think, now I will say this, I do some business in my business with South Korea, and they,
oh, do you?
Yes, they have taken over a lot of the clothing manufacturing that has been done in the past in China. And their prices are better, their quality is actually better, and their turn times are faster. Now, North Korea being attached to that, there is no reason in the world that that business-type model cannot be done there as well.
Well, can I ask you a question as a businesswoman, because this is completely out of my wheelhouse, sweetheart. But do you also do business with Vietnam, with the country of Vietnam, making clothing and things like that?
I do not.
How about China? Do you do business with China?
Yes.
So what's the difference? I know I'm kind of off in left field here, but what's the difference between the quality of product from North Korea versus China, or vice versa?
You know, I'm not so sure that it's... Here's the difference. First of all, the price is generally a little better.
In where?
In South Korea.
Okay.
But beyond that, the manufacturing time is much less, which is kind of a really big deal in our industry. So the manufacturing time is less, and the accommodation is more. So
what's that word mean to me?
It means to me that when I go to China to buy something, here's the way it is, and that's it, and you have nothing to say about it. You cannot rush your delivery. You can't. You have no power whatsoever.
So it's not a Burger King operation where you can have things your own way.
No, it's all their way.
Okay.
Where in South Korea, it's more our way. It's when you need it, we're going to try to accommodate whatever you need.
So it's more competitive.
It
right?
is more competitive. Friendly. It's more customer friendly. I enjoy the relationship more. Actually, the South Korean representative will come to my building and talk to me. He will personally deliver things. They give me a lot more service. And as you know, service is my huge thing in my business.
Right.
So when you give me that service, I'm going to buy from you.
Well, I just think that's amazing. You know, just think, now they've been working on this project, okay, of the Accord, but just for a few months. Okay, I mean, really, just
yeah,
for,
not
just,
too long,
right,
sure.
Okay, and then it was off, right? And then it was back on again. So in just those few months, they managed to accomplish four things. You know, the United States and North Korea have committed to establish a new relationship in accordance with the desires of the people of two countries for, you know, peace and prosperity.
Sure.
And then they want to work on building a lasting peace. But the third thing to me was the most important thing, and that is moving forward and agreeing for denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. And I think that's huge. You know, the last thing that I thought was nice for both countries to agree on, especially North Korea, was the ability to go out and locate and recover the remains of our American servicemen, which were about 7,800 were missing, of which about 5,300 they think there are remains for in North Korea that can be repatriated back to the United States and with their families.
And I hope that becomes the case, because it will give the families some sort of closure and peace and a way to honor and bury their loved one where they want them rather than in North Korea. I think that all the things that you mentioned are great things, and at the time that you and I are having our conversation tonight, Mike Pompeo is still in North Korea discussing how all of these things are going to be. Now, I want to mention one more thing.
Sure.
The entire day and week on the news has been what is the saying? It's not backseat driving. It's like something quarterbacking.
Well, 2020 hindsight,
yeah,
and backseat quarterbacking.
Yeah,
sure.
The news media is questioning everything about this, trying to find something wrong. Well, he didn't get this agreement. He didn't get that. For heaven's sakes, he just did something historic, and it was just recent. And let him develop this. But, you know, we just don't have a nice thing to say here in this country. And I honestly, Ron, I wish that the media would shut the heck up, because they're always looking for something wrong. For me, as just a regular, everyday American living my life here in America, I am thrilled at the prospect of not having to sit under my desk again as I did when I was a child.
Oh, me too. I remember those days.
Civil defense. Possibility of bombs coming. And of course, if it's a nuclear bomb, it's sitting under your desk. It's not going to do a heck of a lot. But I'm just saying, this is a big deal, and let's let it play out. And I honestly have complete faith in this team that President Trump has put together. Do I have complete faith in Kim Jong-un? Of course not.
No, and I don't think we should.
Nobody does.
I think we have to. He's going to have to demonstrate his sincerity towards peace, a lasting peace with the United States. Now, one of the things that really bothers me, honey, and you touched on it, is the just ridiculous self-serving criticism of the mainstream media and these stupid talking head pundits about, Trump's not going to, this isn't going to happen. They're critical. Well, why didn't they talk about human rights? Why didn't they do things like that? You know, and these mainstream media celebrities and these pundits are just trying to do anything that they can to disrupt this process. I watched that total idiot, Jim Acosta from CNN, completely harass our president and Kim Jong-un during a press conference. And it was like, well, when are you going to talk about civil rights or, you know, human rights and this and that? Listen, we're talking about denuclearization. Can you figure that out, Jim? Look, here's the deal. If we drop bombs on each other, ain't nobody going to have any human rights, okay? Because we're all going to be dead.
Any rights at all, right?
Okay, but that's just the way they are.
Well, and you know what? You and I have talked about this before, that this guy needs to be completely banned from the White House. He's a complete idiot. He's the antithesis of a good reporter. Because as far as I know, reporters were supposed to report the news, not make the news, and not be antagonizing the people.
Well, it was absolute harassment.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, you know, speaking of North Korea, that guy wouldn't have lasted 2 seconds in North Korea as a journalist.
Yeah, it'd be like, so long, Jim.
he'd be at some work farm making little ones out of big ones.
That's a word picture.
But anyway, rocks, you know, pounding rocks. Okay, you get it. But anyway, so, you know, congratulations to our president and to his team, even for getting us this far. Okay.
Yeah, there's no guarantees. And anybody who thinks that there is or should be is a fool, because this is a very long-standing regime. And there's going to be highs and lows here.
Right.
And we need to expect that. And we need to roll with that.
Right.
And nobody will roll with that better than President Trump.
Oh, and I absolutely agree. And if Kim Jong-un is smart, he won't screw around with this president, because believe me, there's a new sheriff in town. This isn't Barack Obama. This isn't John Kerry. This isn't Hillary Clinton. This isn't Madeleine Albright.
And
all those other idiots
that
did absolutely nothing for us. At least we're making some headway. And you know, this just goes back to that article that you wrote on America Out Loud that I love, and that is, to what end, right? Obstructing our president, not getting in line, not joining together as Americans, and, you know, congratulating our president on moving us closer to the peace process. To what end?
Well, and I changed the name of the article at the last minute to what if we all agreed on supporting the president here? You know, that is the point. What if we all agreed and moved our country forward? How would that look?
And you know, the other thing that really gets me is, what's wrong with supporting, you know, the direction of this country that this president is taking us in?
That we voted
what
for.
What could it possibly hurt?
No. You're absolutely right. And it could only hurt people's power base, their egos, and so forth. I'm with you, Ron. I'm speechless at the stupidity of the media these days. And I don't even know what more I can say about it, because I honestly feel like 90% of Americans feel the same way that I do and you do.
Well, you know, that's a conversation that I want to have with you a little later, as soon as I get one of those koozies or something to wrap around my beer to keep it cold.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, rounding the bin with the beer.
Well, I think I've had two glasses of wine. I think that's my limit.
Well, I'm up with you because I had two beers. All right. I don't know if it equates blood alcohol content wise. However, hey, did you see this thing about that credit service Intuit that shut down the payments for all the gun purchases?
You know, just briefly, and Intuit is, you know, QuickBooks. I mean, that's the QuickBooks
TurboTax, QuickBooks,
yeah,
all of that?
That's okay. The system that, you know, I mean, millions of people use to pay their bills and to do their accounting.
Okay, well, apparently what Intuit decided to do is introduce their value systems, which was anti-gun, into their business profile.
And like with Starbucks.
And guess what? Without warning, they refused to process orders for gun-related sales. But they didn't tell any of their vendors that. They just all of a sudden just stopped processing orders once they saw it was for a gun. But you know what? Some of the stuff wasn't even for guns. It was for like accessories, like cleaning supplies or ammunition or holsters or gun cases, you know, things like that. But they didn't tell any of their major vendors.
Well, here's what happens when that happens. Having a business myself, I understand exactly what happens, and I cannot tell you what a pain this is. So they refuse to process the purchase, say that somebody purchased a gun, gave their credit card, and it's approved, and they leave the facility with the gun, right?
Right.
And then Intuit decides that they are not going to process that. So they don't process it, and they go back to that gun dealer and they say, I'm so sorry, but we're not giving you the money for this purchase. But yet that customer has the items.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. How did that work? That doesn't help the company that's the vendor that uses the Intuit services, right?
Oh, no, it's a disaster. And just speaking from firsthand experience, what you have to then do is you have to locate that customer. Good luck with that.
Oh, my
God. And you have to get a different credit card or a different method of payment. And that is, I mean, the time that takes, and not to mention that you're out your money at the same time.
Sure.
So, I mean, personally, they shouldn't do business with them, but they ought to come back really and file some sort of a class action suit, because this is a huge issue. It, the time that it takes a company to go hunt down people to repay,
right,
is really, really terrible.
Well, you know, just looking at it legally, not being an attorney, but understanding something about discrimination, this doesn't constitute a protected class, right? So they're not doing it on the basis of race, religion, sexual orientation, or anything else. They're doing it on the basis of a personal value system, which is anti-gun. So I'll tell you what, if I was a place like Cabela's or Bass Pro, you know, Turner, some of these big, you know, gun dealing companies, I would not do business with Intuit.
Well, and at this point, Intuit's saying basically that they're not doing business with them. And again, like you say, it's this is all political, as isn't everything political these days. It's very, very sad, because firearms are legal. They are our Second Amendment. So what And again, do these businesses have a right to say that we are not going to support this portion of your business? And I will tell you, Ron, that we have this very same issue, because we own firearms training schools.
Well, you know, that was my next question, mm-hmm, sweetheart. How do people like us that have a legitimate business, we run a concealed carry firearms training school, two of them, one in California and Texas, and we run them on behalf of the different sheriff's agencies so that we can train responsible citizens in self-defense. How does
Which
that affect us?
Which is their Second Amendment,
because
right.
Because people are paying us with credit cards. How does that affect us?
Well, I mean, we do not happen to take Intuit payments.
Okay, so nor will we ever.
Nor will we. And, you know, we're very careful about how we do this. But that being said, I'm sure that every other company also was because you have no reason to think. Now, what would have been the proper thing to do? First of all, there is no proper about this. But if you are going to decide that you're going to make a political statement in your business, as people like Google do, as
Starbucks.
With us. No, with us.
Oh, with us.
We cannot, even, you know, advertise.
We can't advertise.
Right. Because Google will not take an advertisement for a company that does firearms training legally and per the Second Amendment.
Right.
But anyway, they should have put out a notice of 30 to 60 to 90 days ahead of time
somebody,
and said, we are not going to be taking these, so do not take these credit cards. You don't leave your customers in the lurch like they have done.
I absolutely agree.
Yep. So I want to talk about something a little different. I'm going to kind of go in a little medical direction here because there's some good news in medicine. And I just find it fascinating because we are in an age and an era where things really change very rapidly in the medical world to our advantage. And one of the things that has happened here is that there's a breakthrough in, tooth decay. So that should make both of us very happy because we spend an inordinate amount of time at the dentist, it seems like.
Well, that's true. I was just there yesterday getting a filling done.
Yep. Well, enamel, which is the material on the outside of your teeth, which is the strongest material and the hardest material in your body, and which enables your teeth to function and to do all the jobs that it's supposed to do, like chewing and biting and exposure.
As my dentist is always telling me.
Yeah, exposure to acidic foods and drinks and extreme temperatures and so forth. So that when that breaks down, then that's how we get cavities. Well, enamel, once it breaks down, it cannot regenerate, like maybe your bones can or something. So since it can't regenerate, that's when you start having problems and pain and tooth loss and toothaches and so forth. So, and 50% of the population have this issue. Well, there is a new mineralized material that mimics the fortified structure of enamel, and it can now be used to prevent and treat tooth decay. And I have one more story that is a medical breakthrough that I think is really, really exciting. So we have known some people in our life, Ron, that have had glioblastoma, which is a brain tumor that is cancerous. It grows very fast. It's very aggressive.
My dear friend John Haley died from brain cancer at a very young age.
The average lifespan, and by the way, we had another friend, George, who just recently died of the same thing.
Correct.
So the average lifespan of somebody that is diagnosed with this cancerous brain tumor is about 17 months, and that is with treatment. Okay. Now, they have come up with a vaccine for this particular brain tumor. And in testing, it's had phenomenal results. What this particular vaccine does is they do surgery and they take as much of the brain tumor out as they safely can.
Okay.
And then they give them this vaccine and it mixes bits of that tumor cell with immune cells from the patient as part of the vaccine. And then it trains their immune system to target and fight the cancer cells in their body. Well, the results have been that the average lifespan has gone from 17 months to over 40 months.
That is really something. And you know, what you're bringing up right now, sweetheart, just kind of underscores what President Trump did a couple of weeks ago when he signed that new act that allows the experimental drugs, the experimental treatments and things like that for people that are terminally ill. I forget what the name of the act was that he signed, but it was in reference to the poor little kid in England, remember?
Right, yes.
Who needed a treatment, and the Italian government offered to make him an Italian citizen and fly him over to Italy at their expense to treat him, but the British medical system wouldn't let it happen.
Well, and you know, we all have the right to try, and that is what this, I mean,
I think that's what the act was called, the right
be.
To try.
This is not necessarily something that's out on the open market yet, but it's a breakthrough that has had phenomenal results. And if you were in that position, this would be a great thing to try because you have no other hope. And if this can give you that hope, it's wonderful. So I'm really, really excited about the things that are coming out in medicine recently. And these are two of the great ones.
Well, you know, that's a great story. And, you know, speaking about people with terminal cancer, I want to talk about sort of a bittersweet story about a little six-year-old boy with terminal cancer who got to be a Kentucky State Trooper for a day. So we've got this young man by the name of David Turner Jr., and he's now appointed as Kentucky's tiniest state trooper.
Oh.
And he just recently reported on duty, and they made him the cutest little Kentucky State Trooper uniform with all the bells and whistles, the badge, the stripes, the, you know, shoulder patches. I mean, just everything, because little David, his favorite thing in the whole world is to play cops and robbers. Well, Kentucky State Troopers, God bless them, in Louisville, they get a hold of his parents. They invite him down to the state trooper office, and they've got the SWAT armored vehicle there. They've got a bomb-sniffing electronic robot. They got the canine unit. They've got the patrol cars. They've got all the bells and whistles. Louisville Fire Department first responders brought a big fire truck for him, and he just went to town on everything. They put him in all the vehicles, let him do all the stuff, turn on the bells and whistles and the sirens and sound the horns and just everything like that. And you know, it's sort of like a make-a-wish type of thing.
Sure.
And I just, you know, just am so happy that our law enforcement people and our first responders could donate the time and energy to do something like that for a little boy that probably won't make it past Christmas.
Right. Yeah. That's like you say, it's bittersweet. It's a sad but happy story.
You know, honey, with my love of the Marine Corps, I just want to call your attention to the passing of a legend, and that is we just lost one of our very last Navajo code talkers by the name of Samuel Tom Holliday, who just passed away at the ripe old age of 94 years old. You know, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Wind Talkers, but it was a story about the Navajo code talkers from World War II. And if you remember, in the Pacific Theater, you know, it's always intelligence and counterintelligence between ourselves and the Japanese during the war. And so what we decided to do so they couldn't hear our they could hear our communications on the battlefield. They just couldn't figure out what was going on.
Right.
Somebody got a phenomenal idea of going to the Navajo Nation and training a bunch of Navajo Indians to talk Navajo code, which is
they already knew it, but they didn't all know it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was it's one of the most unique and difficult languages in the world. And so they trained a bunch of these guys in the Marine Corps and deployed them out in the Pacific Theater, and they just did amazing things for our troops with regards to communicating battle plans and strategies and things like that. That is the passing of a legend. So I just want to wish Samuel Tom Holliday fair winds and following seas and Semper Fi.
Okay.
Okay, sweetheart, it's time for my hero of the day.
I love heroes.
Okay, so it's a California woman praised for using her mama bear instincts and saving her family. So she's at a taco stand with her child and her husband. And about 6:30 in the evening over in Los Angeles County in the city of Industry. And they're sitting there in their vehicle eating, you know, some tacos. And all of a sudden, a guy comes up and shows a fake badge and brandishes a gun and tells them that he's an undercover officer and he's really menacing the family. And everybody in that car knew that he was not the popo.
Right.
not the real popo. Well, so what mom does, she's a pretty quick thinker. And her, I can't remember her name is, but the suspect's name was Juan Rodriguez. So she offers Juan a taco. And so he starts...
One must have been hungry there.
I guess so. He starts munching on the taco. And the mother, while he was eating the taco and distracted, she gets out of the car and walks over to the taco stand. And I think the excuse she might have used is, hey, we're going to get some more food. So he let her go. Well, she told the people at the taco stand, my God, don't turn around and look at this man, but call the police because he's got a gun. And so the police just happened to be in the immediate area, and they caught, you know, Juan Rodriguez with taco in mouth.
Rifling through the woman's purse, I think.
Rifling through the woman's purse while he's chomping on a taco, and they took him into custody, and the whole family came out unscathed as a result of that. So God bless that mother for her quick thinking. And, you know, the guy's a little bit like me. Food focused. And it was his undoing.
Anyway. But you know what? Good thinking on her part, and she kept her head, and she had what, three kids in the car, so yeah. She really saved her family.
Good
so
job
good for
on her.
Her
part.
Well, you know what? I have a dog story. Love my dog stories.
And do you notice our dog over there out cold?
She's out cold. It's her bedtime. And she has a very definite bedtime. But Desi is a rescue dog for us that was actually dumped out in Texas. And she showed up on our ranch there.
Literally came out of the mist
literally
on Christmas morning.
Out of the mist. And here she is today. And really probably one of the best dogs that we have ever had.
Without a doubt.
Couldn't love her more. Well, it was really interesting that there was a story about a dog that looked just like Desi. And Desi has a unique look. She is part pit bull, and we don't know exactly what the other part is. But this dog in this story looks just like Desi and is a pit bull. And this pit bull is a female also, and her name is Sasha, and she's an 8-month-old pit bull. Desi is a reddish brown.
I think she's mixed with Rhodesian Ridgeback because she's got a hell of a hunting instinct. She's not a mean bone in her body.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. And this pit bull, kind of the same way, looks a lot like her, is kind of that gray silver kind of color. Beautiful dog. Well, the family lived in a place where there was multiple homes, so kind of like an apartment house, but all in one story. And they had left the dog out at night. The dog started pounding on the door, barking, pounding on the door, and the mom went out, and the entire apartment next door was engulfed, which of course is attached to her, so it was engulfed in flame.
Oh my gosh.
And the dog realized it, so she unleashed the dog, and the dog was, you know, very excitable and ran in the house and grabbed the baby in the family before the mom could even get there, who was sleeping on a bed, and grabbed the baby's diaper and dragged that baby to start taking it outside.
Oh my gosh.
And the dog
phenomenal.
Just knew that baby needed to be saved. Now the mom saw that happening and picked up the baby, and everybody got out. So everybody was safe because of that dog. So Sasha is my little doggy hero of the day.
Well, that's a wonderful way to end our conversation tonight.
It is. Because Desi is ready for bed.
And so am I. All right, here we go.